What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. I am so excited. First of all, because it's Wednesday, happy hump day to all of you. Please don't forget to hump someone you love, whether it's your partner or your dog. It doesn't matter because it's a special day, mostly because it's hump day, but also because I am joined by one of the great loves of my life, filling in for Jackie today, Miss Taylor Strecker. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey. I'm so excited. I always miss you, but it's been a minute since I've been on the show.
I know. I'm so glad you're here for a multitude of reasons. One, we have so much to catch up on. I don't believe you have been on this show since you've become a fiancé.
I have not.
Are you wearing your ring?
I am not. It doesn't That's fit okay. my fingers.
I won't tell Taylor. But also because we just have so much to catch up on. Jackie gets a day off while she's on vacation and yes. everyone wins except for me because I'm still here working.
Oh my God. I'm so happy to be here. We do have so much to catch up with. I mean, I feel like it's been, God, Claudia, how long?
Like a really long time because
years.
Because we've been in COVID for a year. Oh, you yes. came on the Patreon recently. That was really fun.
That was so fun. I came to your apartment, went on the Patreon. Yeah, I mean, I swang in and out, but I'm really excited to be here today. Can I say what I want to say?
Literally, I just want to put one disclaimer. I'm up in Pennsylvania with TPG. We're having such a nice day. His dogs are super loud. So if you hear barking, it's just Celine and Marshall living their best lives. Nothing to be alarmed.
Okay. I just this Monday, just this week, just 2 days ago, launched my motherfucking own Patreon. So
welcome.
Thank you, Queen. Claudia, you have been telling me, you can say right now I told you so, because you've been telling me for years, years.
I'm not one of those people. Like I really feel like your journey is your journey. I did tell you so, but I'm not going to rub it in. It's just like a matter of fact kind of thing.
But I don't know why it took me so long. If I'm being completely honest, it's like now that I'm over here, I'm like, I'm such a moron, like such yeah. an idiot for taking this long, but whatevs.
Let's backtrack because I feel like we've gotten actually a lot of new toasters in the last year because of COVID who might not be familiar with your story. Okay. And I find it just to be such a story of like empowerment with your radio show. So why don't you tell everyone like for those who don't know, apologies for those who are obsessed with Taylor and already know, but tell us like a little bit about how you got here.
So I have been in radio for like audio, if you will. I mean, you guys, I was in radio before podcasting even existed. I'm 1,003 years old. But I look like a cherub. But I, a little chubby baby is what I look like. So I've been in radio for a while. I worked at Sirius XM for like 10, 11 years. I worked for Cosmo Radio, which was like the magazine. And back in the day, Cosmo was like the number one women selling magazine. So it was kind of a big deal. I got it like right out of college, like super young. And it was amazing. I got to interview like all the celebs. I mean, it was a rotating door of celebrities at Sirius. Like that was a thing. Like Sirius equals star fucker. You know what I mean? So that was like incredible. Like I got to know Selena Gomez really well and invited her to my wedding. My first wedding. I interviewed Taylor Swift and I didn't know who she was because that's how early on it was. And she knew I didn't know who she was. And she was like really cool about it.
Like, no, she was nothing if not professional.
Justin Bieber was a dick, and I almost got fired over that interview, but I didn't get fired then. They waited
11 like years later, then you got fired.
And it was, I mean, it really was the coolest job ever. And I am really grateful because without Sirius, I really probably wouldn't even be in radio / audio, whatever, podcasting. But then they savagely fired me on a Saturday when I was going to get an advertiser for the show. Mind you, I didn't make one penny from ad sales, which we now know is so egregious. But anyway, so that was a dumpster fire. But while I was at Sirius, I was an identifiably straight girl. Cosmo, right? The girl that they picked to do their radio show had to be like the Cosmo girl.
Right.
Like, giving tips on blowjobs. And I was just like, I hate blowjobs. I hate sex. I hate penises. Doesn't everybody else?
Stop.
And it was crazy. And so, of course, I was like dating in New York and, you know, living with my best friend. And so I was out in the Hamptons one summer and I met this guy. We're going to call him Chad for this portion. And Chad was, you know, like douchey cute. You know what I'm saying? And so I had been dating like bad guys for so long. And like, I never really was like that into any of them. And Chad, I was like, I have to stop dating drug dealers and start dating like adult people, you know, because I'm just not feeling like the drug dealer thing is going to like go well for me in the long term.
But we all go through a drug dealer phase. It's nothing to worry about. Nothing to be ashamed of.
It's so true. So I remember like thinking this guy, I'm not like wanting to jump his bones, but like, do I ever want to jump anyone's bones? No.
Right. And at some point it's just like, you know, comfort.
Yes, exactly. And he was like so nice and such a gentleman and really was like a good guy. And I was like, I'm going to think with my brain and no longer like my heart or my vagina. Not that either one were really involved in the first place anyway. So we started to date and he was just like, it was like a year and a half. And then he proposed. We moved in and then he proposed. And we just went through the motions. Once we were engaged, shit hit the fan with his family. And I was like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? I tried to like postpone the wedding. I was like, this is going to be so bad.
Yeah.
The prenup, we were fighting over the prenup. We were fighting over everything. It was just like, I was fighting over religion. It was out of control.
Yeah.
But I just was like, well, you like how rude to cancel a wedding when everybody's already sent their gifts, you know? I couldn't possibly have manners. I was raised well. So despite the fear, I went through with the wedding and thought, we'll figure it out after
later.
The wedding. And 5 years later, we got a divorce.
But remember what I said. It's all a part of a journey.
It is a part of a journey because after I got a divorce, I fell in love with my very, I only had one, my very cool lesbian friend. I was so lame. I thought I was like, when I met, well, my now fiance, Taylor. Yes, her name is Taylor. I'm Taylor. She's Taylor. I remember thinking that, like, I'm so cool and woke that I have a lesbian friend. Now, mind you, this was like 7.5 years ago. So please don't come for me.
So you can say dumb shit like that.
Exactly. And think all the dumbest shit. So I actually thought she was straight when I first met her. I actually hated her when I first met her because she was tall and skinny and blonde. And her name was also Taylor. And she was the better Taylor. I could tell in 2 seconds. And I don't like that shit. So I was fuck this bitch.
You're a big woman for admitting that.
Thank you. Oh, I'm definitely the ugly duckling of the relationship, and that
No, you are not, but she just is, like, so sickeningly gorgeous. It's not fair.
Very annoying. I vacillate between, like, pretending her body is actually mine.
Oh, that works.
And remembering it's not.
So when you ended up being at Sirius for 11 years. You had a huge show. Like, huge show.
It was big.
Got fired. Boom. Done. Toast. Canceled.
Yes.
And then you just kind of picked up the pieces and started your own radio show. And that's what you've been doing over the last 3 years. And why I really wanted you to come on this week is because, you know, we're all in this space. We don't have a Sirius XM. Like, we're all doing it ourselves. And so you had tried different platforms and you finally now landed on Patreon, which I'm a huge proponent of Patreon. We've had so much success with it at The Toast. I think it's an amazing platform. I like love that a lot of creators aren't on it yet because it's not oversaturated. And the people who subscribe to our Patreon, like it works. Like it's just a good platform for people like us. And I'm so excited that your show now finally moved. You also do a daily show. You do Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, daily show. It used to be, so after Sirius fired me, I basically found a network that could kind of do like, it was like live streaming radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically was like, get the show back that was taken from you. Cause it was truly taken. It was taken from me and the whole audience. They didn't even give me a goodbye show. It was like pretty savage. So
that was crazy.
That it was crazy. And I had to go like radio silent, pun intended, for like months because I was in, you know, contract situation with them where they were saying I could, my non-compete said was serious. I couldn't work for a year in audio. That included podcasting. I actually had a deal with CBS like right out of the gate.
Yeah,
Stassi made a call for me because she was she was like, Captain Save-A-Ho, thank God.
Right.
And because I called her hysterically crying. And then she was like, I mean, I was about to call you guys and try to talk about coming over to the old place as well.
Verizon, yeah.
Yeah. And then that shit hit the fan and I was like, Claudia can't help me now.
No, I know. I'm like, girl, like I need your help. I'm canceled too, but in a much worse way.
Oh my God. I got to a point where I was like, do I have like the opposite of like, the Medias, what's it called? Touch? I was like, does everybody?
Midas.
I'm like, I'm turning to shit and all my friends around me, I'm like spreading the shit out.
No, 2018 was a very hard year for both of us.
Oh my God. But then my lawyers, Marty and Larry, it's the only way to go.
Agreed.
They were like,
your lawyer is not named Marty, I don't want it.
And curly hair
and old.
Oh yeah. And they got me, they got it down to 3 months because it was, okay. It was bullshit. And that's when I launched the Taylor Strecker Show, still the same name on the Patreon relaunch, but I launched it 3 years ago on this platform called DNR.
So now it was
live radio. It was 8 to 10 a.m. So now we're more of kind of like a pre-recorded situation.
But so now you just like, it's hard. And now you're what, like 3 years out from that, like completely rebuilt your own show, moved it to Patreon. Like it's really like I feel a story of success. And I think something a lot
Thank
of people-
you.
Especially after this year can relate to you, just like being so down on your luck and having to just make the best out of what you have. So I'm so excited that you're here. I hope that any toaster who loves this episode will subscribe to Taylor's Patreon. It's premium. I listen to her show all the time. She's insane, like truly fucking insane. And I just think it's a great, you know, amuse-bouche before the toast.
Thank you, girl. Yeah, you guys definitely, the episodes are out like first thing in the morning. Like if you wake up at like 5.
You're better at that than us. Like we keep with COVID, no. Like we're like 11, 12.
I like that. No. I like that. But I have to do it because I'm morning radio. That's like where I'm like grandfather bear.
We're the morning toast and our episodes come out at noon. Like
for millennials, you're more brunch show.
Yeah. But so Taylor is here with us. We are going to dive into Fast Five, get her takes on all the drums. And because today's Wednesday, we're also going to do Dear Toasters with Taylor, which I'm actually really excited about. Dear Toasters is our weekly advice segment. And, you know, Jackie and I have really lived like the same life. So we kind of have the same feelings about everything.
Right.
And I feel like you could offer a fresh perspective to some of our toasters in need.
As an older, late in life lesbian, I absolutely could.
100%. So I think without further ado, it's time to jump into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And today's episode is brought to you by a brand new sponsor that is a toaster-owned business. So everybody listen up and welcome to Hello Ruby. We would be remiss, devastated, and heartbroken if we didn't tell you about today's extra special sponsor. Founded by a toaster named Jill, she started her own woman's boutique called Hello Ruby, which is, of course, named after her labradoodle, Ruby, which is so effing cute. She started a fashion truck in Nebraska, and she's now expanding into an online shop, shipping to toasters nationwide. It's super easy to shop online at shophelloruby.com or through their Instagram at Hello Ruby Truck. The clothes are affordable, and they always sell out fast, so when it's gone, it's gone. Hello Ruby posts new arrivals weekly, so it's a great shop to have notifications on so you don't miss out on their dresses, sets, tops, jewelry, accessory, and more. I've been running around town in this sickening sweatshirt she sent me. It says cheers on it. It's super toasty and it's so comfortable. The clothes are affordable. Keep that in mind. And you're supporting a small toaster business, Hello Ruby. Anytime you shop, you can use the code TOAST for 15% off your order with free shipping at shophelloruby.com. There's no limits to how many times you want to use the code and you can use it anytime you shop. They also have a special going on for toasters. When you use the code TOAST and spend $50 or more, you'll receive a custom friendship bracelet that says toaster on it. And I got mine in the mail last week. It's the cutest thing ever. It just says toaster with all these little beads. So if you use the code TOAST at shophelloruby.com, follow them on Instagram, use the code, get a free bracelet, and just get sickening clothes from a sickening toaster. We love to see it.
That's fucking awesome.
I know. I'll send you a bracelet. It's so cute.
Please.
So this first story like kind of has the world shook because anytime Pete Davidson, you know, farts, like, the girls freak out.
Yes.
So according to Page Six, Phoebe Dynevor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, excuse me, was spotted after the Pete Davidson romance rumors. Bridgerton star Phoebe Dynevor has been spotted out and about for the first time since rumors swirled of her potential romance with SNL funny man Pete Davidson. The 25-year-old actress was photographed attending a pre-production meeting in Greater Manchester, England on Tuesday for her latest project. So there's really no story here other than the fact that she was paparazzied, but it's just a platform for me to talk about this relationship and,
absolutely,
and preach about how I feel it's unfair.
Okay, so Phoebe is, I actually met Phoebe years ago when because I was hosting Younger, the after show. And
oh my God, yes,
she's Josh's Irish girlfriend.
Pregnant, right?
Yeah, wait, I always get scared. Yes, pregnant. Because I'm so far ahead, I always get scared that I can't say things.
But oh
yes,
my God.
So she's pregnant, Josh's girlfriend, the whole thing. She's,
oh my God, I forgot.
She's a total adorable button of a human being. You know, like,
that's,
I feel like,
good,
when you see people on screen, like, they sometimes are, like, they vibe different in person, but she holds up. Like, what you see is what you get. She,
yeah,
is, like, too cute for words, and I just don't know. Does Pete Davidson have, like, a magical ding-a-ling? I do not understand.
That's what Ariana Grande said. Like, when she said that about him, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but, like, she made him the most desirable man in America.
Do you think it's the Ariana Grande effect, or do you think, I actually know, this is crazy. So, back at Sirius, sorry to keep being, like, an old person back in my day, back at Sirius, when I had my first rotation of co-hosts, Carly Aquilino from Girl Code.
Oh, my God, I totally forget about that part of Pete Davidson's,
yes,
life.
Yes, yes, she was a co-host, so I got to know her. She was, like, every week on with me for, like, over a year, so I really got
her.
To know Carly. I love her. Talk about a button. He's got a type, and it's a tiny little miniature person you'd stick in your pocket.
With red hair.
Pocket. Yes. And she had that fire engine red hair, but she's always changing her hair color.
Yeah.
She is so cute and so funny. And they were comics. That's how they met. And he started to, like, really rise up and was, like, kind of a dick.
But you know what? I've always kind of admired how I believe that they're still friends. She
they
had a
now.
Role in King of Staten Island, a small role, which was his,
yes,
movie, which was, like, obviously he, you know, wanted to collaborate with her. And even though that's, like, one of the couples, he's had, like, so many lives. I forget about, like, the Cassie David of it all.
Totally. After Carly.
After Ariana Grande, he was, like, the most desirable man in America, Kate Beckinsale. Like, he just
so
had
bizarre.
It all.
Yeah.
And so, personally, I'm not, like, a Pete Davidson, you know, stan. He's not really my type. I do understand, like, the obsession. And for me, it's just, like, I don't think it's fair that Lady Bridgerton just, like, gets to be with Pete Davidson and then also, you know, Simon from Bridgerton. Like, you can't have it all, girl. Like, leave some for the rest of us.
Oh, that's why I'm mad that he keeps getting these girls. It's like, how? In what world?
Oh, no, I'm not mad about that. I'm mad that, like, this one girl, she gets everyone. Like, leave some for the rest of us.
Oh God. I feel like remember when someone said he had butthole eyes? That wasn't nice, but it did make me laugh.
It wasn't nice because it's a medical.
Then I decided that it made me not laugh again.
Right. And it was like a.
And I just erased
crazy.
That I said it.
No, because what happened was, like, somebody said it on, like, a Barstool Sports podcast or whatever.
It was Barstool.
And
was
Ariana
Barstool.
Grande, like, replied
really
to
mad.
Them being like, that is so mean. I believe he has Crohn's and it has something to do with his Crohn's. I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on that. But it was, like, a medical thing. And that was such a crazy time in the world, like, when Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande were, like, the world was unbalanced.
I will say I was, like, obsessed with the fact that I thought he was significantly less attractive than his partners, and it made me angry because I felt like it was, like, a misogynistic, I don't know, just, like, just it really summed up, like, the world that we live in. Like, the King of Queens, like, really,
yeah.
He gets, like, Lisa Remini, like, that's, like, or Leah Remini. It's, like, that's not fair.
That's
it's
a, like, hilarious comparison. Kevin James and Leah Remini. Like, I didn't know where you were going with that.
I call it the King of Queens syndrome.
No, that's actually really good. Like, it just doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. But I will say that
I love Leah Remini, by the way.
She's a queen. Over the years, Pete Davidson has very much grown on me. I definitely think it was the Ariana Grande effect worked for real. I fell in love with that Sweetener album and then, like, fell in love with their love because I felt like the whole album was about their love. And then 3 seconds later, she wrote a breakup album. I was very confused about timing and publicity and was very distraught. But I actually, after I saw that movie, I was on a flight and I watched The King of Staten Island, and actually, he's fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, it was cute. And the thing is with funny guys, it's like you don't always have to be the most handsome to be the most attractive. Like when you are in comedy, like your personality and your wits, like just make you funnier. I mean, sorry, make you cuter.
It's true. But like, does that work for us? Like, if I'm really funny, do I get prettier?
I'm the funniest bitch alive and I should be like Giselle, but no one's treating me like Giselle. So no, it doesn't work for us.
Same. And that's why I'm going to still fight the good fight.
Well, Phoebe Denever, I'm sorry.
I don't know how to say her last name and I Phoebe, said it wrong to her face.
Phoebe D. Yeah, Phoebe is D. Literally, she's going to be like the biggest movie star. Like she's going to be like
ever
because she's so gorgeous. She's so talented. And Bridgerton was so big. And now with this, like, I see big things for Phoebe D.
Me too. I like Phoebe D. I'm rooting for her.
She's also set to star in the new Sky original biopic, The Color Room, where she will portray ceramic artist Clarice Clifton. Never heard of her, but that should be interesting.
Interesting. I wonder how much she's getting paid.
I know. Like, I mean, she definitely made a lot of money because Netflix like pays out the ass, but she was relatively unknown before that, except for Younger. Like she wasn't that recognizable. I'm really happy for her, but like she just needs to, my takeaway here is like, leave some cuties for the rest of us.
Stop taking them all. She's greedy.
In the words of Ariana Grande, I'm so greedy. So greedy. All right. Next up. This has to be the dumbest story I've ever heard in my life. Also from Page Six. The Real Housewives of New York cast is not surprised Bethany Frankel orchestrated her engagement news the same day that their trailer dropped for the new season.
You know I hate Bethany, right? I'm here for the story.
Okay, so this is what Page Six says. The Real Housewives of New York aren't putting their happiness on pause for Bethany Frankel's marital bliss. Members of the reality show's current cast were miffed at former member Frankel on Tuesday as they suspected that the skinny girl mogul timed news of her engagement to be released on the same day Bravo dropped the season 13 trailer of Real Housewives of New York, a source is telling Page Six. Quote, they were all confused why she's still obsessed with Real Housewives of New York and would orchestrate her engagement news to come out the same time as the trailer for the show. Bethany is just being her petty self, but she can't take away the cast's happiness or how hard they worked during this season during the coronavirus pandemic. However, an insider close to Frankel pointed out that Frankel never confirmed any engagement news herself. The paparazzi took photos and spotted the ring. So I think this is the dumbest story of all time. I know you hate Bethany, and I really need you to try and take that, like, try and be unbiased here.
I can't.
Why? Because, like, literally, Bethany is her own star. She does not need to keep competing. She left the Housewives by choice. Like, she's not losing sleep. Like, and, you know, I could literally hear Ramona planted this story. Like, I can hear Ramona so vividly in this narrative, like, thinking everything's about her.
Totally. Here's the thing. I believe Bethany to be a great reality TV personality. I believe her to be very successful and very wealthy and very aspirational. I also believe her to be a monster person with no soul, a dumpster person, if you will.
Wow.
And I believe that I really think that she is a petty person. And I think that no matter how famous she is and how successful she is, she's probably constantly torturing herself because she's so competitive and measuring herself on like her actual failures. And she might, although, and I'm with you, she left Housewives.
It's not a failure.
But here's the thing. There are some people there that are so dark, and I believe her to be one, that it's like, even if they choose to leave, they don't want the show to survive because it threatens their ego. Like, they need to know that it was them, that they are the star.
You know,
so I think there is some of that with her. Actually.
That's a really interesting take. I don't agree, but I'm definitely that type of person. Like, if I leave something, like, it needs to fail, you know? Like, so you just pinpointed, like, a character trait in myself that I didn't know I currently possessed.
That's what I'm here to do. I really do think, though, I think that there's something with that. And also, Bethany is the queen of Page Six. The queen.
I know, but, like, first of all, she was paparazzi'd. Like, and if you
look... Because she calls them!
If you look at her Instagram, because I was just looking...
I know for a fact, because it's Soho House.
Her last, like, three photos, she's, like, kind of wearing a ring, and you could, like, see it. Like, nobody pointed out. She wasn't, like, really hiding it. I don't know. I don't think that... Lions don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. Bethany is the lion here, in my opinion. New York is like a floundering franchise. It's still popular, of course, but it hasn't been as popular or as good since she left. I'm going to need you to stop coughing like we are doing a podcast.
I'm turning my microphone off.
Oh, you're turning your microphone off. Okay, sorry. Okay, no one can hear. I was like, this bitch is literally fucking coughing on my show. Like,
I had COVID.
Okay, fine. You are living in post-COVID life. That's fine. Like, fine.
Oh my God.
I didn't know you were turning your mic down. I apologize for reprimanding you.
No one heard it.
Okay. But back to the story. I just don't believe it, but you do. And that's fine. I just think that Bethany is like living her best life. And I really don't think she cares. Like, she's super popular right now. Like, she has all these things going on. Her podcast is widely successful. She has HBO Max shows in the, like, she's just like a lot going on.
No, she really does. I mean, I think her success is very admirable. I will give her that 100%.
And it's not like the announcement came on premiere day. It literally was the day that the trailer dropped. Like, nobody, only like hardcore fans watched the trailer. It wasn't this big insult to Ramona, although I do believe Ramona really sees it that way. I don't think she's lying about how she feels.
Oh, yeah. Ramona's delusional world is real to her.
We've got to take a trip to Ramona's delusional world because it sounds like an amazing place to live.
Although Ramona did call it when she said, Bethany doesn't support other women. She did.
Oh my God, you are such a Bethany hater. I love Bethany. And
Did you see my Bethany tweet on my Instagram? Happy International Women's Day to everyone but Bethany Frankel.
I actually did see that, and that was a great tweet, especially coming off the heels of her Meghan Markle stupidity. That was so bizarre.
So I have to stand by my word.
I actually love
stand by my Instagram.
How you crack yourself up so much. It's like one of my favorite things like about you.
I figure if no one else is laughing, I better be laughing.
Yeah, no. And it's like all you need to do is hang out with yourself.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Okay. This next story is so bizarre. Have you seen this like viral internet Cinnamon Toast Crunch thing?
Okay, I saw something about a meme with Taylor Swift with Cinnamon Toast Shrimp. What's going on?
So I don't know about what Taylor Swift thing you're talking about, but here's the story. E! News is going to break down the whole Cinnamon Toast Crunch shrimp tail debacle. For anyone who doesn't know, it's like the weirdest thing to happen on the internet. Twitter users are eating up the story of how Jensen Karp unexpectedly found something fishy inside his bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I love a pun.
Oh.
The LA-based podcaster, whose wife is Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World, Topanga.
No.
Yeah.
I've got stories.
Oh my God. Of course you do. He claimed he found two sugar-coated shrimp tails in his bag of cereal and has been sharing his disturbing experience with fans on Twitter.
No.
On Monday, he posted a picture of what he alleged are pieces of shrimp that he found inside the Cinnamon Toast Crunch bag he bought at Woodland Hills Costco in California. Jensen tagged the brand and wrote, at Cinnamon Toast Crunch, why are there shrimp tails in my cereal? To prove he was serious, he added, this is not a bit. He wrote, I'm looping in at General Mills because I'm genuinely nervous. I will never eat or sleep again without answers. The Cinnamon Toast Crunch account responded to say, we're sorry to see what you found. We would like to report this to our quality team. They also offered to replace his box with a new one, and he responded, guys, I'm not sure I'm ready for another box. At this point, at this point in the shrimp tale, Seth Rogen entered the chat. The comedian wrote, you win, to which Jensen replied, Seth, define win. Later in the day, the brand announced, after further investigation with our team that closely examined the image, it appears to be an accumulation of cinnamon sugar that sometimes can occur when ingredients aren't thoroughly blended. We assure you that there's no possibility of cross-contamination with shrimp. However, Jensen was not pleased. He posted two more close-up images of his fishy friends and said, after further investigation with my eyes, these are cinnamon-coated shrimp tails, you weirdos. I wasn't all that mad until you now tried to gaslight me. This post has more than 100,000 likes.
Wow.
The podcast host mused to his followers, imagine a universe where I'm like, yuck, these are shrimp tails. Then I re-examine them a few hours later and realize, nope, they are just accumulations of sugar. So now the internet is like in a tizzy looking at these photos. They are 100% shrimp tails. Like there's no, like you can't convince me otherwise.
Are they shrimp tails with like a little bit of the meat still in it or are they like sucked out?
No, it's like the tail end of the tail. Like, you know, the
tail end of the tail.
It's like flaky.
Oh God.
It's really sick.
Interesting. I mean, are there any people that don't believe him?
If you see a picture, like you have to believe it. But this guy, I don't know like what he does or if he works in comedy, but he's so funny. Like he keeps tweeting at General Mills. Like he will not let the saga die because he feels like they're gaslighting him.
I actually, my first thing was I was like, oh, him and Topanga are looking for some press.
I know.
However, I do, the fact that he used the term gaslighting, because there's nothing more frustrating than something happening and then the person that did it to you denying it. It's the worst feeling in the world. And so I actually believe his incessant tweeting is because he feels so wronged.
He feels so gaslit. Like,
he's like, Phoebe found the what in her, what she found the finger in her.
Are you talking about Friends?
Friends.
What did
yeah.
she find?
Remember who found the finger in the food? Somebody, I think it was a severed finger in like a Coke or something, a Diet Coke.
Okay, like I've seen every episode of Friends and I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
I mean, sometimes I dream things and make them up and think that they actually happen. So this could be one of those cases, but I swear, I think that there was like a finger one. And didn't she become like a millionaire because like the brand didn't want it like to get out that there was a finger and
the
Coca Cola or something?
Show Friends with like Lisa Kudrow and Jennifer Aniston? What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm talking about like the shirt you're wearing.
The what? Yeah, like the shirt.
The shirt
I'm literally wearing a Friends t-shirt right now.
Hello?
Phoebe becomes a millionaire? What the fuck are you talking about?
No, she ends up like, it ends up falling through, like she loses the can or something, you know, some Phoebe thing happens. But like, I swear to God, I remember this.
Okay, I have to Google it. Like, what? What is the premise? I feel like we are not speaking the same language. Like, I literally don't understand what you're talking about.
There was an episode of Friends where somebody, I think it was Phoebe, found like an appendage. I believe it was a finger, and I think it was a Diet Coke. Maybe it was a box of popcorn. I don't know, but it was like a thing.
Okay, I don't remember. And if you're right, like the Friends community is going to come after me because I'm like a Friends encyclopedia, but I have literally no.
I know you are.
I have no recollection.
That's why I'm questioning myself. Wait. Friends finger episode.
There's
right?
no such thing. Like I'm telling you.
I swear to God, I mean, I'm kind of like somebody, like, I'm like your grandmother. Like, I don't really, like, remember something that somebody has told me yesterday.
Oh,
but, like, I remember
same.
Things vividly from the past.
Yeah, but I also make things up from the past.
I also make things up from the past,
Are you
too.
Finding anything on Google? Because I bet you're not.
Friends, the one with the thumb. The one with the thumb. That's the name of the episode.
Okay, and what's the premise?
There's also one called Friendly Finger. The one with the I'm trying to find Wikipedia.
Like, if I'm wrong, I'll be so embarrassed, like dead ass.
Phoebe struggles to get rid of all the free money she's receiving, including $7,000 from a soda company when she finds a severed thumb in her drink.
Wow. Fuck. You're right.
It was episode in the third episode of the Friends first season.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, the Friends. I might have to delete this part of the podcast because I'm so wrong. And like, I'm embarrassed because I am the number one Friends fan in the world. But clearly I'm not. You are.
I'm actually not.
I'm happy for you that you like Googled it and you got justice for yourself.
That's not going to get edited out.
No, it's literally being edited out right after we hang up.
Okay, so where do I pick up?
Well, I don't even know. We were talking about Cinnamon Toast Crunch story.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like maybe he's trying to like, I don't know, like he wants money for it, which he deserves to get. That's gross.
No, by the way, there's tons of stories like that. Like, do you remember that hockey player who found a full-blown chicken head in his bucket from Buffalo Wild Wings? The picture is the crazy, the beak. It's the craziest thing. Don't Google it. It's disgusting. Like, there's so many stories like that. Like, somebody in Wendy's found a finger instead of a French fry. Like,
yep. Oh. So this stuff happens. So,
Those people get paid.
They get paid. So I feel like not only is he expecting them to be like, oh my God, dude, we're so sorry. Like, let's give you a check. Instead, they start to like deny him his truth. That would infuriate me too.
Yeah, no, he was looking for his like big money moment. And instead, he just got gaslit.
But I mean, I can't believe it's Topanga's husband. That's for me the wildest. I was at her first wedding. I was at her first wedding and got hammered and like got really weird. I mean, he didn't do anything weird. I got really weird with Jonathan Taylor Thomas because he was there.
Okay, wait. Start from the beginning. Why were you at her wedding?
When I worked at Cosmo Radio, she came on the show all the time and there was like a point in time where she was talking about like getting her own radio show, like in the afternoon. So that's kind of how I got to know her. And she was like into Cosmo Radio, like a fan. So she was a fan of my morning show. And then also this guy, Patrick, who dated Stassi.
Yes.
Topanga had like a little mini crush on Patrick for a moment in time.
Interesting factoid.
Yep. And he was one of my very good friends, how I met Stassi.
Right.
So that's kind of, but her and I kind of just like stayed in touch over the years. And we like went to the Soho House and had lunch together. And we had like the best time. We were like kindred spirits. I'm like, we're best friends. And then she invited me and my ex-husband, to her wedding. Huh. It was kind of like one of the, you know, when you get an invitation, you're like, oh my God, I didn't expect to be invited, but this is going to be the best thing ever.
Literally happened to me yesterday.
No, tell. Yeah.
No, I just got invited to a wedding that I just haven't spoken to this person in a really long time. I love them dearly.
Right.
But you know, COVID changes things. Everyone, like I didn't get invited to a bunch of weddings this last year that I probably would have if it were a normal year, which is because of COVID. And it's important for me to say I'm not mad. I actually hate weddings.
Yeah.
Unless it's like people I love dearly, like family and very, very close friends. I will respond no to most weddings. Like I just don't like going to weddings. But it's just like so nice when someone wants you at their festivity. It's an honor to be invited.
It's such an honor. So Wasman and I got out to LA and we went to the wedding and it was so fun.
Where was
it? It was like downtown LA in like a huge like cathedral space type of thing. Do you watch Selling Sunset?
Yes, of course.
I swear to God, where Christine Quinn got married was she got in the newer one, but like this was like maybe like 8 years ago. But I swear to God, it was the same location.
It was like a big ass chapel.
Big ass chapel, indoor, outdoor, like huge cathedral ceilings, like, you know, like colored lights everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like that. And then an In-N-Out truck came and we were all like wasted. And JTT was there and I was like, this is my moment. He is my man. And he did not like it at all.
Oh,
he did
that's
not like
upsetting.
Me. He did not like it. He did not think I was cute and or funny.
Oh my God. Not funny?
But I've just remembered that night, Wasman and I were seated at a table with this very nice lesbian couple from New York City, and I was obsessed with them.
Oh my, see, foreshadowing. You knew early on.
Foreshadowing.
I'm going to dive into our fourth story, but not before letting everyone know about another sponsor of today's show, BetterHelp. Yes. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know I personally struggle with anxiety and crippling self-doubt, but that's just me. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Their service is available for clients worldwide where you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website, read the testimonials, they're posted daily, and you can really see the impact that BetterHelp has on millions of people. Visit betterhelp.com/toast, that's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Morning Toast listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/toast. It's never a bad time to take control of your mental health. Never.
I love a therapist.
Me too. You're my therapist sometimes.
Oh, you're my therapist sometimes.
This next story I'm like so happy about. I'm like nervous because I have a feeling you don't like this person. I just have a feeling like about it.
Okay.
Taylor Swift and her mom, Andrea, donate $50,000 to a mother of five who lost her husband to COVID. Taylor Swift and her mom, Andrea Swift, are giving back to a family in need. The 31-year-old singer and her mother gave a joint donation of $50,000 on the GoFundMe page for Vicky Quarles, a mother of five whose husband, Theodis, died of COVID-19 this past summer. The family's fundraising goal was $50,000, and thanks to the Swift's donation, they have surpassed it. DeQuanda Smith, the organizer of the GoFundMe page, shared an update from Vicky thanking the Cardigan singer and her mother for their generosity. Words cannot express how incredibly grateful I am for all the kind and caring people who have made donations in support of me and my five daughters, she said. I would like to especially say thank you to Andrea and Taylor Swift for your thoughtfulness and generosity from our home state of Tennessee. She went on to share that the Swifts had sent her a sweet personal note that warmed her heart. The road ahead will definitely not be the same without Theodis, but with each day I am humbled and anchored in hope that I can continue to raise the girls to be as compassionate and caring as all of you. She concluded, thank you so much. So I live for Taylor Swift. Like, it's, she gave us great news today. I won't go into it because I know you're not a Swiftie, but we got great. Are you going to say something?
I'm not a as Swiftie as you, but I love her. I think she's great.
I don't know why. I just felt like you hated her.
Mm-mm. No. I didn't know her. I wasn't a big fan, and I didn't know who she was when I the first time I interviewed her. But just based on that experience alone, I would be a fan of hers no matter what, forever. She seems like, I think there's some things that she does that I've not over the years been 100% here for. But overall, I think she's like fucking awesome.
Okay, good. I'm so glad. I love this story. She gets like, anytime Taylor Swift does something, there's some sort of backlash. And especially when it comes to philanthropy, she always does philanthropy like very low key. She just like posted on GoFundMe, like literally put $50,000 on her credit card. Like, she didn't make like a whole big check, you know, local news thing. I just live for her. I think, this is a terrible story I hadn't heard about. There's millions of stories like this now because of COVID, but a mother of five losing her husband. It's so sad. I love Taylor. I love her mom. I love that they did this. I love that they did it secretly and it became a big news story just because like it literally was on GoFundMe, $50,000 from Taylor and Andrea, like just two regular people. So it became a story because it's newsworthy, but not because she's like out, you know, being so like, look what I did.
Exactly. No, she's like the real deal.
But you know what?
The real deal.
Even if she was out, I don't mind. Like, I feel like we shame people who are like public with their donations. They're still donating.
I know. Well, I mean, I know the whole Kylie Jenner thing.
Well, so that's also what I was going to say. We spoke about that yesterday on the show, coming off the heels of this whole stupid, like, GoFundMe $5,000 thing. Like, it does make Kylie look kind of bad.
It does. It does. But I do, like, there was a part of me when I first read that headline that I was like, yeah, maybe she should give him more. But, like, isn't it better to give? Like, let's not, like, shame people for giving. Because then it's like, because I think that that's a big thing when it comes to especially charity. It's like, well, if I can't give enough, I shouldn't give it all. It's like, no, every little bit helps. So,
but also, you know, Kylie explained herself. When I saw the headline, too, I'm like, damn, that doesn't look good. But when Kylie explained herself, she logged onto the GoFundMe. The goal they were trying to hit was 10,000. They already had 6,000. So Kylie gave 5 to put them at their limit and like a little bit
that
over. So it's
makes
like
sense.
And she just put it on her story to share the news. Like, and it wasn't this whole conspiracy to get her followers to pay for her ex makeup artist's surgery. Like, it's so stupid. Like, so that's where like the news makes drama where there's no drama.
Yes. No good deed goes unpunished. That's the epitome of that.
But I'm really happy to see Taylor getting the respect she rightfully deserves after years of being disgraced by the media. And it's just never, ever, ever a bad time to be a Taylor Swift fan.
I love her. I love her.
I'm
and
so
I love
glad.
What she did with Scott Borchetta. Fuck you, Scott Borchetta.
Yes,
she
oh my
really
God.
Liked you. Oh, girl. I stand her silently, but I do.
I know. And it's just like, the bane of my existence is just like realizing the way we talk as a society about Taylor Swift versus how we talk about other artists, mostly male artists. Yes. It's so misogynistic. Yes. And like, she is what Ramona Singer would consider a woman who truly supports other women.
She really is. She truly is. She walks the walk.
Unless that woman is Kim Kardashian.
Oh, well, I mean, those are deep wounds.
Yeah. And I can't get into it because it's really like a sensitive spot for me. I wrote about it even in my book because available at girlwithnojob.com/book because those are like my two queens and I just can't even, I can't even, let's just move ahead.
If you had to pick.
Can't. Literally can't. Would rather like, what are my options? Jump off a bridge or I'm jumping. Okay. Fifth and final story is news that probably doesn't surprise anyone. Mostly me. According to the New York Times, Ellen DeGeneres loses 1 million viewers after the apology for her toxic workplace. So when Ellen DeGeneres returned from a summer hiatus to open the 18th season of her daytime talk show in September, she came armed with an apology. Quote, I learned that things happen here that never should have happened. She said, I take that very seriously. I want to say I'm so sorry to the people who were affected, yada, yada, yada. Viewers did tune in for her apology. Her season opener this year had the highest ratings for an Ellen premiere in 4 years. And then people tuned out. Ellen has lost more than 1 million viewers since September, according to the research firm Nielsen, averaging 1.5 million viewers over the last 6 months, which is down from her average of 2.6 million in the same time last year. The decline has come at a time when workplace behavior in Hollywood has come under intense scrutiny against a backdrop of protest and social change. It is a startling step. Okay, New York Times is getting like all, you know, SAT word over here, but
I can't even read the New York Times. I don't even understand it.
No, the first two paragraphs had everything I needed. She went from an average of 2.6 to an average of 1.5. I do have to say, I think overall cable show ratings are going down. I don't know if I would blame all of this on her toxic workplace. Definitely a lot of it, but also take into account that it's been just like a weird year.
Right.
People's trends are changing. Cable ratings are, over the last 10 years, always going down. Plus this scandal. So I think they're like making this a bigger story than it is. But it is interesting to see like a million, an average, like that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. I'm with you. I definitely think that they're kind of manipulating the statistics to their storyline, which is like, see, she's done because of what she did. But I think it's actually a lot to do with, if none of that had even happened, I think the ratings would still be down. Maybe not to this extreme amount, but they'd be down regardless.
100%. But this is just like so clickbaity. But I would love to hear, you know, as a fellow host, like, what are your thoughts on the whole Ellen thing?
You know, the Ellen thing's interesting. And if I misspeak, I apologize. I think I know a lot, but I know I don't know everything. Okay. You know, it's complicated because I think sometimes like in business, we're different versions of ourselves than we are like personally, right? And like, and like sometimes you have to be kind of tough in business and it's uncomfortable, but like it needs to be done. And also Ellen's very famous and interacts with a lot of people that remember her, and she might not necessarily remember all of her interactions. Also, she set herself up by being the Be Kind girl because then you, if you're anything but perfectly kind, you're a monster and you're off brand and you're a liar. So she really, like, there was so much working against her. But I mean, listen, some of the stories are horrific, and like she, like it's fucked up to just mistreat people. Like the waitress who, like, she like
the
like
nails,
sent her food back to the nails, and like,
I know it's also, you know, just fucked up because she literally blamed all of the backlash on like the people. Like she said, it didn't come from her. It was like the workplace around her. But it's like, you know, it comes from the top.
Of course it does. And also that's the thing too is, and her, and she sucks at apologizing, which is my least favorite quality in a human being.
Like, I couldn't
just
agree
pony
more.
Up and say you're sorry. Right. So I'm like 50% in and 50% out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, I just feel like, I think that we should take it seriously, but at the same time, like there are so many other egregious things going on around the world in businesses. Like, I mean, hello, Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Like Ellen is, I feel like she, people want to cancel her as hard as Harvey. And it's like, yeah, she's a fucking bitch with a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. But like, there is a spectrum of wrongdoing. And I don't think that she's at Harvey's level.
Taylor, like, this is what we've been saying so much, especially in this last week with like the whole David Dobrik scandal. I don't know if you're caught up on it.
I'm not.
Whatever. Like he, you know, all of his sponsors are pulling out, you know, his HBO Max series, his everything, because there was this investigation done that one of the members of the Vlog Squad, trigger warning, had, you know, raped someone who was a part of David's vlog. David knew about it, made jokes about it, filmed, like, was there. I don't know. It was really toxic. And so many people are like, David Dobrik's a nice guy. Like, this is cancel culture. I'm like, actually, no. This is like a full-blown crime. Like, this is not at all. There is 100% a spectrum. And I agree. Like, okay, is Ellen the nicest person in the world? No. Should, you know, should she go to jail? No. She's just a mean person.
Right.
And
even
though it's not, that's not a crime.
Exactly. And you know how many, and I hate to go here, but do you know how many fucking guys are assholes in Hollywood? And it never, he's just a man in charge of his career. God forbid a woman pushes back, you know?
Yeah.
Well, again, I want to say, I do think Ellen's an extra conscientious. I do think that, like, there's so many guys who, you know,
my favorite,
like,
example,
ruled with fear.
My favorite example is Alec Baldwin. Like, he's just skated by. And no one ever questions, like, there are so many crazy things. First, the voicemail, you know, calling his daughter a pig or whatever. And I know that's personal. Okay, whatever. The beating up the paparazzi, being mean to everyone. And it's like, he's still the toast of Hollywood. He's on SNL. Like, everyone loves him. This whole Hilaria scandal. He's just, like, untouchable. That would never happen to a woman.
Never. Never in a million years. So
I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So those were the Fast Five stories. And I feel as though you needed to know them. I feel much more well-rounded.
Me too.
So before I let you go, it's Wednesday, so we have to do our Dear Toaster segment, which is so much fun. And we always get really good insights from people all around. So I'm going to read a few submissions, and you're going to do your best to give the best possible advice. Is that okay with you?
I am in.
Our Dear Toaster segment is brought to you by Newex. At Newex, our mission is to provide customers with the highest quality products at a reasonable price. So I have been into the CBD scene for a while. I've been taking Nu-X, specifically the gummies and the shots, for almost a year now, and it's one of my favorite CBD brands. They manufacture really premium products. The gummies are great tasting. Each gummy has 15 milligrams of broad spectrum CBD per gummy. They're vegan, if you care. They're made with all natural ingredients, and they have no artificial flavors or sweeteners. I have found in COVID CBD to be such a joy. It helps me relax, helps me sleep, and I trust Nu-X. All of their products are USA grown hemp. They are lab tested and very reasonably priced. Some of these companies are out of control with their pricing, but Nu-X gets you the best quality for the best price. Their gummies, which is what I take, are under $10, and they're great for people who are looking for a fun way of taking CBD, maybe, you know, taking something sweet. The shots are great. It's 150 milligrams of caffeine and an energy blend with CBD. It's a 2-ounce bottle, non-GMO, vegan. I like the mango flavor. It's a great alternative to coffee and, you know, people who want energy without the jitters. So Nu-X CBD is one of the greatest companies. Their products are so good. I've been using them for a long time. And if you want to check out some of their products, visit Nu-X.com. That's Nu-X.com to purchase some of their products. And you can use the discount code TOAST for 20% off for a limited time. So again, that's Nu-X.com, promo code TOAST for a limited time. Make sure to check that out if you're into CBD or if you've been trying to get into CBD. Okay, ready, Taylor?
Ready.
I got three submissions for you. First up,
okay.
Here's the sitch. My wedding was supposed to be last October, but we postponed it to this year because of COVID. I ended up having a small ceremony last year to make it official, but we are still having the big celebration in the fall. One of my bridesmaids has been hooking up with my college ex since January and just told me about it. I've known her since preschool, and I was obsessed with him from 7th grade through senior year of college. They both went to the same college, if that's even relevant. I don't want to throw away the friendship, but the more I think about it, the more mad and betrayed I feel. Talk about RDH. Even my husband agrees that I should be mad. Like, why is it now on me to forgive and move on when she could have just not done this? So my question is, should I hash it out with her and let it go? I need your help. This is tough because, like, weddings, you have to make, like, you know, life decisions because your wedding is, like, one of the biggest days of your life.
Yes.
But if you're getting married, you're like, why do you get really divorced, care?
Then it doesn't matter. Wait,
the thing is, if you're getting married, like, why do you really care?
Well, this is a thing. I mean, listen, it's tough because you kind of don't get dibs, like, once you've moved on. But there's also kind of girl code that it's like, just because something doesn't work out with a guy doesn't mean, like, if I had a friend date one of, like, there's an ex-boyfriend of mine, like, if one of my friends dated him, I'd be like, that is so fucked up. Like, because he's just mine forever. Even though I don't want him anymore and I'm a lesbian, I don't even want that dick. It's like, he's not yours. You do not get to go near him. This is tough.
Well, the thing is, it's like, I can't really relate to this because Ben was my first boyfriend. Like, I don't really have, like, exes, you know?
Right.
Which is so weird.
I do. And so I'm going to let this girl know. I mean, like, we shouldn't say this, but we're allowed to feel it. Like, you're allowed to feel pissed off at this, especially. I mean,
I don't know.
Listen,
I don't agree.
I know sisters where the one sister was dating a guy. The other sister started dating him secretly behind
her
back because they were just a hookup. And then the sister married the guy. So, girl. And that's.
Imagine having had sex with your sister's husband.
I'm not 100% sure if the first sister had sex with the husband, but I'm pretty sure. So
that's,
I know,
sick.
It's just wild. But I remember the older sister would always say, well, he's my soulmate. And that was the argument.
That makes it acceptable.
And I always remember thinking, there's plenty of fish in the sea though, no?
Yeah, no, the sister thing is weird. That's not the same, but I don't know. I feel like once you get married, you kind of relinquish, like, and I feel like if that were Ben and he was, like, mad at his friend for dating his ex, I would literally slap him so hard across the face. Like, the disrespect.
Well, you can't admit it to anybody.
The disrespect.
Yeah. She definitely can't tell her husband how she feels.
But she said she did and her husband agrees with her. Like, it is wrong.
Oh.
There's weird things here.
I like their relationship.
Yeah, it sounds like her and her husband, like, are, you know, real team players.
Yeah, and they're like so transparent. He supports her even in her crazy thoughts that could hurt his feelings. But he's like, "Fuck my feelings, I love you." She has a great future ahead of her.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, look at your husband; he supports you even when you're being crazy. Like, focus on that.
That's amazing. You got the right guy.
I agree. That's the message here. Okay, next up, dear Jackie and Claudia. Well, Claudia and Taylor. I listen to your show every day. Never thought I'd be writing in for some sisterly advice from my sisters.
A couple weeks ago, I noticed my boyfriend of 4 years acting weird, avoiding eye contact, going to bed early, etc. When I confronted him about it, he nearly broke down in tears and told me he had something to confess. After about 20 minutes of trying to get it out of him, he told me that earlier this year, at my dad's 80th birthday party, he and my brother went upstairs and ended up having sex. Full-blown sex. I was alarmed on multiple levels. One, my boyfriend is straight who has never expressed interest in other men. Two, I couldn't believe that he would be so disrespectful to do this in my family's house. And three, the betrayal for my own brother may just be the most devastating part. Oh, this is going to break my heart.
Oh, my brother, God.
My brother knows that this is the man I want to marry. We've been together since college, and he's basically a part of the family. I've yet to confront my brother about this. I'm nervous, scared, heartbroken. I don't know how I can get past the betrayal of this magnitude from a family member. But I'm also not prepared to have a broken relationship with my only brother, who I've always been very close with. My boyfriend and I have decided to stay in our relationship and work through this, but I don't know if I can ever have them in the same room again. I feel like this is going to change the dynamic of my family forever. Should I even bring this up to my brother or just continue life as usual, pretending I don't know this happened? I don't want to fracture my family over a drunken mistake. Thank you.
Whoa. Wow. Are you motherfucking Teresa?
Yeah.
How is she being so logical about this? I threw my sister into the shower and broke the door over a pair of Uggs.
Yeah.
So what do you think I'd do to my brother if this were the case?
No.
I would go ham.
Like, there's so many things I want to unpack here, but I feel like the first that maybe are avoiding is, like, I feel like now that it's kind of out in the open, like, you and your boyfriend should have a conversation about where he stands in his sexuality, because that's important for you to know.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that there is a closeted community of the gay community where it's like, you're in such denial that it's almost like, well, it doesn't even count. Cause it's not like I'm cheating on her with another girl. And it's like, well, like, and listen, if you're okay with an open relationship, that's totally cool. But like, you need to really understand at length what you're signing up for a future with this guy, because, you know, there is something to be said for, is he bisexual? Is he, you know, actually gay? I just want you to make sure that you're not signing away your life to something that's like, it's not, you're not both seeing it from the same perspective.
Right, where it's like a half-assed relationship because there's a part of him that he's hiding, or that he doesn't even, you know, doesn't have the courage to work through yet.
He might be scared to come out. I know from experience, coming out's really scary. Mm-hmm. So, but the fact that he had sex with your brother, who I think is out as gay.
Well, that was not confirmed, but I have to assume.
Okay. I'm going to make it the assumption
is,
girl, that's wild. I'm shooketh.
I would like to shift your perspective a little bit, because in her writing to us, she said, I don't want to fracture my family over a drunken mistake. And I don't know if I would belittle it down to a drunken mistake, because it's so much more than that. It's so layered. It's your brother. And I do think, like, you need to put equal amounts of effort into working this through. Like, this is going to be really uncomfortable, like, for a while. But you don't give up on family. And if you're willing to work through this with your boyfriend, then you should be more than willing to work through it with your brother. It's going to be really awkward, but I really feel like you should be heard. It'll bother you your whole life. Like, this is not something you get over.
The thing, though, is I feel like she's so considerate about everybody else's feelings. Like, girl, what about your feelings?
Oh, my God. That's a great point. Like, you didn't once say, like, anything about yourself here. Like, this is actually, like, a really heartbreaking for everyone. Like, I can imagine how difficult it is for her boyfriend, like, maybe struggling with these feelings, how difficult it is for her to get caught in the middle. But the only person I don't feel bad for is the brother.
Yeah, the brother's really – and also, listen, I'm not saying I believe in, like, breaking up families, but – you're allowed to get mad at your family when they disrespect you. Your brother really disrespected you. I kind of feel like your boyfriend did too.
Yeah, 100%.
And a drunken mistake is like your boyfriend goes out and hooks up with somebody that's a
stripper.
Right?
That's a drunken mistake.
Like, this is like, you know, there's so much betrayal from so many angles, and I don't know how you're so calm. Like, I'm being dead ass when I say this. I really want you to find a couples counselor for you and your boyfriend, and or your own counselor, because you are so ready to just push down your own feelings on this. Like, you need to like use this opportunity. Like, you've been very wronged by very many people that you trust, and like, you deserve to like live in your feelings. And you're so concerned about not breaking things up. What? Nobody was concerned about you.
100%. That's such good advice. Like, look out for number one here.
Yeah, look out for yourself. I mean, yes, family's important, relationship's important, but your relationship with yourself, I am so like woo-woo right now, but it is the most important thing in the world. And if like, also you set a precedent with people being able, like, with your boundaries, and you like have none. If this none. Is, if you're like, we're just gonna like act like nothing happened. It's like, oh my God, girl, that is gonna cut to you at 50 with like a martini at 8 a.m. Yeah. Like, you know, like in all the pills. Up. It will eat you up. Like, I promise you, it will. We were talking about, so deal with it now and know, like, I mean, I know I'm like, who am I? But like, I fucking have your back 110%. Like, I'm pissed for
that's
you.
That's so sweet. No, that
I'm furious for her.
I feel like this was a great submission for you because you kind of can speak to that experience.
Yeah, I can. Like, listen, I definitely was suppressing that I was a lesbian, gay, whatever. I had no inkling whatsoever. And then when I met my now fiance, I was like madly like horny in love with her. And I was like, uh-oh, something's happening.
This is how
happening.
It should be.
Exactly. And that's when I was like, oh yeah, checks. I hated dick. I like her, not dick. I guess I am a lesbian. But like, it can be, so I have an empathy for struggling with sexuality. I've lived it, but like, I didn't hook up with my
husband's
sister.
Right, it doesn't give you a free pass to hurt other people.
Exactly. It doesn't.
Okay, so I would love to hear an update if you work this out, and I'm really wishing you the best. On to our final submission. Dear Claudia and Taylor, first of all, I listen to y'all every day. I want to thank you for making my pregnancy during a pandemic more bearable. My husband and I have been together for about 6 years now. When we first started dating, I met his mom almost immediately, and we totally hit it off. There was some weird only child, only son stuff going on, but I didn't think much of it. Well, immediately after we got engaged, she went full on bonkers, kept trying to plan everything, even tried to make our registry for us before we had even set a wedding date. I told her politely that I really wanted our registry to be a thing we did together as a couple, and she called my husband asking if he was sure he wanted to marry me. After the wedding, I just read a book called The Mother-in-Law. Like, it's too pertinent. After the wedding.
I wrote it.
Okay. After the wedding, she sent me a text saying that I was passive aggressive and manipulative. She called to tell me that I would never come between her and her son, and I was selfish to think that my wedding day was only about me.
Oh my God, I'm so PTSD.
She also left me out of his grandmother's obituary, post-marriage, etc. She's just the worst, but my husband consistently makes excuses for her, so I just try to grin and bear it. Flash forward to this year, I'm pregnant and we're planning to move to a city 2 hours away for his job. She naturally decides to leave her husband, not my husband's dad, and move to the city as well. But said it she said it had nothing to do with us. 1 week after moving in, I hear from my husband's aunt that she is telling everybody that I am horrible to her and she wishes her son had married his ex-girlfriend. Seriously? What the fuck? The weird thing is she is consistently texting me nice things and asking if I want to hang out. Her reasoning is that I never want to hang out with her, and that's why she said it. My problem is that I cannot stop letting it consume me. I talk and think about it all the time. It's just so upsetting.
Of course.
And she wants to take care of my daughter, and I'm trying to do the mature thing and let her when all she wants to... Wait. I'm trying to do the mature thing and let her when all of me wants to be withholding. Help.
Yes.
Signed, an obsessive toaster. P.S. Despite how it may sound in the letter, my husband is a precious gem of a man and very supportive. He just wants us to find a middle ground. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the relationship between a wife and a mother-in-law is 100% incumbent on the husband. And a husband has to take that role of being the communicator, the moderator. Like, and if he might be a precious gem of a man, but he has to take that role very seriously, because the key to a successful relationship with your mother-in-law is having you tell your husband something, or your partner, and your partner telling the mother-in-law. Like, that's how it works.
Oh, yeah. No. He sets the boundaries with her, not you. And guess what? You need more boundaries.
Yeah.
So again, I'm going to say get couples therapist for real.
No, or just communicate openly. Like, you need to have a full infrastructure in place. Like, when you have a toxic mother-in-law, which I am so thankful, I have like an angel of a mother-in-law. So I don't have advice per se, you know, from experience, but I do know that like when it comes to in-laws, never have direct communication, especially when it's like about something hostile.
I had toxic in-laws, and I always say this. I mean, there was other factors, like me being a lesbian, but I really didn't know that. I really didn't know it. I swear to God, I did not know that. Like, Wasman and I would have gotten divorced regardless of me being with Taylor Donahue. So that's the truth. And like, I know his sisters love that I'm a big old lesbian, because they get to be like, she was gay the whole time. But the truth is, and I said to him when we got divorced, honey, we are getting divorced because I can't with your family. And
it's not about the whole lesbian business. Thing.
And I really said to him, I didn't even know I was going to hook up with a girl when we were getting a divorce, you know, but I really was like, because I wanted him to know, I was like, this is not you, but you need to find somebody who either your family fucking fully like adores and fits in with them, or you need to start working on how you're not going to repeat the same mistakes that you made in this relationship. Like, I understand I am so hard hit. It's not like a mother-in-law, a sister-in-law, a father-in-law. It doesn't matter what in-law, but a family member that's like toxic, it can be really hard on your relationship. Mm-hmm. And again, you sound so amazing. You know, you're sticking up for your husband. And I, you listen, my parents, my dad, my paternal grandmother, my dad's mom was really mean to my mom. I grew up watching it, and my parents are still together. Yeah. So it's absolutely survivable.
Yes.
Even though I ran away like a little scared bitch. But I will say it is not easy. And the fact that she moved, girl.
That's next level. Like, that's like a level 10 mother-in-law issue.
He just needs to say to her, he needs to figure out a way to like get a receipt and then be like, Mom, you can't talk about my wife like this. She doesn't talk about you like this.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's lovely and supportive, but he has to be a little bit more... I hate to use the word, but like confrontational, and she'll respect it coming from him, but she's made it very clear she doesn't respect you. So your husband is now in charge. I'm sorry, but that's how it has to work.
She has to be, he has to let it be clear that in order to be a part of your like family life, your nuclear family, she has to treat you with more kindness and respect. And that's the bottom line. And if she can do it, then it's all good. And if she can't do it, then there's going to be problems. It's really simple. Ball's in her court.
Wise words from Taylor Strecker.
Taylor, I've lived.
By the way, that was Dear Toasters. If you ever want to write in, feel free to email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always keep it anonymous. Write in about anything. We've had some weird ones. And if you've written in and we've given you advice, send us an update. We love hearing from you guys. Taylor, I absolutely adore you. You are the best.
I love you.
Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, check out The Taylor Strecker Show Monday through Friday, patreon.com/The Taylor Strecker Show. I love you. Thank you so much for being here. And
I love you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you tomorrow. Jack is back. Bye.
Bye.